It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Ernest Hancock, and my very special guest, Bev Harris from BlackBoxVoting.com. Bev, do I have you there?
Sorry.
Hey, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence. You know, I tell you, Bev, where I don't know if you even remember me. Back in the day, I've been doing radio since 03, and I'll tell you what happened. It was when Black Box Voting first started, when you had uncovered the source code, you know, and a lot of the technical information from Diebold when they were something else, and you just go poking around the internet, and they had the server on the internet as their backup for all kinds of stuff, and they didn't even know it, and you went, ooh, what did I just find? And we were all over that. But, you know, what kind of – tell that story. I mean, tell it. You were – weren't you an accountant?
No, but I had – I'm a writer, but I had done quite a bit of writing on financial malfeasance, so I had some knowledge of that. And, the organization's blackboxvoting.org. There is a .com, and the reason I kind of corrected that quickly is because we don't know who owns .com, but it's basically a harassment site, you know? I should have bought that domain, too. But
then
anyway.
You're doing something right!
Yeah, they don't like it. So we're
blackboxvoting.org. Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you're one of the pioneers who covered this way back when no one would touch it. But, yes, the truth is I was... noodling around on the internet, and in a pretty obscure location, I found a whole bunch of these files, which were, until that time, supposed to be top secret and only in the hands of a private vendor, but they had been working with programmers in foreign countries to program the voting system that counts our votes, and so it was easier for them to put their program files on the web in an FTP server, which they didn't even bother to put a password on. So I happened to stumble onto that. There were about 40,000 files. It filled seven CDs. Back then we were using CDs more than the USB drives and stuff. And I downloaded all the files and, you know, print. Pretty much from then on, Diebold's reputation started to go downhill, so much so that last year they sold their elections unit.
Well, but they're doing the same thing, though, whoever got it, I can
tell you that. Oh, absolutely. And whoever is the right word, another foreign company bought it. It's a company named Dominion. They list their address in Toronto, Canada, but nobody actually knows who owns them. So, you know, the concept that we would have two of the biggest three companies counting votes. They count 75% of all votes in America between these two companies. And no one knows who owns either company.
Okay, this is what, you can see how interesting this is going to get, people. I just want you to, let me give you a little bit of history of, you know, how Bev and I, you know, kind of interlinked on this thing. In 1994, I ran for Secretary of State in Arizona. I did also in 2006. Between those times, when I ran in 94, I'm, you know, crazy libertarian out there going, look, let me tell you what's going to happen when you go to these electronic tabulation machines and the voting machines, because they had just passed a law at that time. I was run against Speaker of the House and President of the Senate, the Democrat and Republican. They both, I mean, this is the high, the legislature both wanted to be Secretary of State. state. And the reason was is because, ooh, that's where all the goodies were. And this is why. If you can control elections, you control trillions of dollars across a country, a wealthy country like the United States, in the terms of policy and law and appropriations and all this stuff. So, you know, it's like you go to the, you know, the bank robber. You know, why do you go to bank to, you know, to rob the banks? He goes, well, that's where the money is. You know what I mean? You know, this is not hard. So why do you want to control elections? Well, that's where the money is. You know, I mean, to the tune of gazillions of bailout. You know what I mean? So then we go, all right. So in 1994, they passed legislation as Speaker of the House and President of the Senate that made it illegal for you to ever compare the paper that you voted on with what the computer said. If you had a recount, you just pushed a button again or run it through the machine again. Yep, says the same thing. We went. Okay. So I go, of course there's election fraud. They made it impossible for you to find it. How much proof do you need? Oh, well, let's talk about the weather. Okay. So in 1994, running for Secretary of State, I brought this stuff up. In 1998, the next 4 years later election cycle, a city councilwoman named Frances Barwood in Phoenix, Arizona, ran for Secretary of State and took all my information and did it again and said, look, this is true, because she had her own experiences with election fraud. When she did that, the forces of evil came down on her like you wouldn't believe, okay? So then we're going, all right, 2004, enormous election fraud was uncovered. They had a mandated recount because they had a close election. Then they found competing election fraud, and it was just, you know, was it computers or people adding on paper and doing all kinds of stuff was going on. A senator here named Jack Harper, he goes, I want to do a Senate subpoena on the actual ballots. We'll just count them right here, this one legislative district. Problem solved. Within hours that day, the FBI came in, took all those ballots, and you never heard about them again. And I'm going, like a year and a half later, I run for Secretary of State, and I'm like, you guys still voting? I mean, you're still voting? Seriously? And the sign was big black sign with white letters that said still voting with a question mark, and had the V in voting was the V for Vendetta. Okay? I'm like, you're still voting? Because I knew that this was all going to come out. Well, they passed legislation requiring manual validation here in Arizona just to kind of, you know, no, we got it fixed. Well, then they wouldn't enact it. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't. So I had to file suit and special action against now Governor Jan Brewer when she was Secretary of State. So I know. I don't think I know how screwed it is. I know. Now you're looking right before the enormous fraud was found out here in Arizona in 2004. It's 2003, 2004, 2005. You're around and then here's Bev Harris, and you're, little old lady from Pasadena or whatever. I mean, where were you from? I mean,
I'm actually from the Seattle area.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning. We got time. You were concerned about these kinds of things because of why?
Well, originally I had done quite a bit of writing. I've been a professional writer for about 30 years now, and I've been done quite a bit of writing on embezzlement. You know, what happens when you're a writer is you do one story and people think you know about that story, so you get more opportunities to do related stories, and that's kind of what happened. So when I saw what they were doing with the voting system, basically taking components of the voting system and concealing them from the public, that's very much like a bookkeeper who says, I need to take, you know, my work and conceal it from my boss. What does that tell you? You know, there was no question in my mind because I knew two things. One was when you start concealing it from the boss, you know, it opens up a wide highway for theft. But two is that a certain percentage of people, and I had learned this in my earlier work, a certain percentage of people will steal. They just do. You know, it's like, it's nothing. I keep hearing, you know, oh, how dare you, you know, impugn the integrity of our public officials. Look, in any field of work, about 1 in 20 people steals if they have the chance.
And they always go to the places where they have the chance, and
right. That
is in the computer being able to hide it, and there they go.
Yeah, you know? So when you take a system and conceal the counting and other essential parts of the checks and balances from the public, then what do you think is going to happen? And then people say, well, you know, you need to trust the election officials. And really, I think it's not, this is not about computer security, by the way, and it's not about having confidence in the system. We need to have a system we can have confidence in. This is about public controls. We don't have them right now. The public can't see what's going on in essential parts of the election. And, you know, I pretty much by 2006, I had my organization had demonstrated tampering with real voting machines out in the field with permission of the election supervisors. We had caught people in the act of tampering with elections with the voting machines, you know, and yes, it got some news coverage and so forth. But I had come to the realization by 2006 that this is a freedom of information issue. This is not an issue about computers. This is an issue about human rights, because it's very clear line here.
I tell you what the line. I tell you what the line is.
We're not free if we can't control our government.
I my thing is, you can never control government. This always happens. I vote none. I still get the vote. Okay, I got my last vote. Here it is. I vote none government. Yay! Problem solved. Well, we'll talk about it more. If you're going to have voting, better be accurate. Bev Harris, BoxVoting.org. Be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, where are you at right now, Bev?
Oh, I happen to be in Seattle right now, although I've been traveling the country pretty good for the past couple of months. I was just in Kentucky where they, during the election, very contentious election between Ron Paul's son, Rand Paul, and the current establishment guy, Trey Grayson.
Which was the Secretary of State counting his own election.
Controlling his own election. You got it. Nothing strange about that. Let me tell you what happened when I got there. It was amazing. You know, some of the local citizens had set up a meeting where I was going to train citizens on, you know, some of the checks and balances and how to catch things if they go wrong. And the citizens who set up the meeting were told that they would be arrested if they held a meeting with me speaking, and that anybody who attended would be arrested.
Whoa. Time out. Okay, who said this?
This was given to them by the town clerk, by a member of the Republican Party that was one of the county guys, and they said they got it from up the line. Of course, I got there, and you know what they were trying to do is scare people away so they wouldn't show up, and that succeeded. So we rescheduled the meeting, and you know, about that time I decided, well, heck, let me send out letters all over the state. I have a pretty big mailing list in Kentucky, and I'll invite everyone in the state to the meeting. And we ended up having people come in from not only all over Kentucky, but Indiana. But yeah, I started my meeting and I said, you know, is anybody here threatened with arrest if they showed up at this meeting? And hands shot up all over the audience. Amazing. A constitutional violation. You know, we obviously have the right to peaceable assembly and free speech. And what was very strange is, well, I asked why. I found one of the people who'd been telling others they would be arrested, and I said, why? And he said, well, because you might tell them to do something that would break the law.
How many people went or finally eventually
Well,
came?
We ended up having to get a bigger venue, and we had a couple hundred people, which I thought was great, you know, for a rainy night in Kentucky.
Yeah, no, I was all over this one. I knew where this was going, you know. And, you know, I don't know if you know, you know, since we've talked before, I'm the one that came up with the Ron Paul Revolution logo.
Oh, really?
We were the ones. I would travel all over the country teaching people how to make those signs and getting the young all. But I had nothing to do with the campaign. We were, the Lovolution was totally outside the campaign. We're like, oh, heck no. We don't have nothing to do with this. Well, what happened was you have all these young, and of course, you know, understanding election fraud like I did, I'm going, look, man, let me tell you what's going on. Don't even get into this thinking that they're going to allow you to challenge the authority of the military and industrial new world order empire of. Okay? That's not going to happen. It is how many minds can you free? How many people can you share this information with about freedom, about the process, about and what you can learn? You do that, and I guarantee it's a win at the end of this thing. But if you start getting in thinking about you're going to get your guy in primary votes and your caucusing, and you do all that and think that you're going to get a single delegate to the National Convention for Ron Paul, you do not understand what's going on. If you think voting is going to make you free, you have not been paying attention. And when they came down to Rand Paul running in this, even though, you know, sometimes a lot of the guys, a purist, you know, had issues on, you know, whatever. But I tell you what, they did all agree on. They wanted an accurate election. So I had Brad Friedman from Brad Blog on. He, of course, was interested in this also.
Yeah, right.
And so we're tracking this. We're ready. Oh, we're going to see what's what. Mm-mm-mm. Had I known that you were going through this in the meetings there, man, I'd had you all over the radio. So this is information that I find extremely interesting, because we had a Republican establishment guy that was being supported by La Machine,
right,
that happened to be the Secretary of State that was counting his own election. Okay.
Right.
So I'm going, oh, we're going to get us some good on this one. Well, they decided it wouldn't be prudent at this juncture, you know, to go messing with that, because there's a whole bunch of people lined up ready for this
one. Oh, yeah, it was a 2-1 route. But come November, look out, because I was already, after I got out of Kentucky, I asked for a bunch of records, you know, I just kind of practicing, you know, for November to see what they were going to obstruct. And they obstructed till the cows come home. According to them, you know, they can't print a report off the computer. It's not a public record. According to them, you wouldn't be able to print election results. It would be, you know, off limits. And so I've been dealing with some attorneys there, although we don't have any kind of money, you know, to sue. It's a black hole trying to throw money into lawsuits and so forth that take 5 years. But it's gonna, I'm telling you already, the level of obstruction just from that May primary is amazing. So once again, if people think this is going to be a cakewalk come November because of great popularity in May, think again. They'll be pulling out all the stops on this one. They
come up with excuses. They'll make up stuff. They'll go, he's whatever the media can latch on to say what he's bad to justify, see everybody hating him.
Oh, sure, you know, the smears, the demonization. But and it's just going to be, here's the deal in Kentucky now. You know, I went there in 2007, and I saw this setup happening. There is a company called Harp Enterprises, which is in Lexington, which programs the machines in 96 counties in Kentucky. And so basically, you've got a handful of guys in one location controlling the state now, if they choose to do so.
No, they wouldn't do that. You know, see, this is the one thing. A lot of people, they'll say, oh, no, America, MK, America. America never do that, America. And I'm going, you know, they would lie us in the wars. They would rob every dime that we got. Your pension funds would be eliminated. They would give Wall Street. They would rape, pillage, and steal, and all this kind of stuff, murder, and all kinds of war. But they wouldn't do election fraud, because that would be wrong.
Well, and I've seen them do election fraud. At this point, you know, because one of the things I started doing was, you know, traveling. When we get donations, we use that money to travel. Travel is expensive. And we got out there and started hitting some of these hot spots, and we caught them in the act. I mean, we have them on videotape in Volusia County, Florida, and that ended up getting on HBO, which was, you know, they did a film on it. But that's unusual. We caught him in the act in New Hampshire, and not a darn thing happened, and the press wouldn't even cover it, and that was a presidential primary.
I know, I've been through this so many times, and it's very, I wouldn't say frustrating anymore, because it's becoming common knowledge amongst the people. They know something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go, well, you got to get out and vote. And that's where Brad and I go at it. You know, he's all about, I go, you know how busted this, you know, in certain, you know, in your state, there's no paper trail. There's just a screen. You go up, you push it, want to recount, and push the button again. Yep, says the same thing. I go, you know this, and you're still telling people to get in the sheep shoot. to go up there and push the thing. You're still doing that. Let me tell you. And you're, and what? And I'm asking you, Bev, I'm going, you know, knowing this, it's certainly in some jurisdictions where it's really, 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 really bad. And you're going, yep, but you should go get in line anyway. I mean, what's your thing?
Well, I think so, because you know what? Otherwise, you're allowing a win. What happens when you cast a vote is you cast evidence that could be used in a forensic investigation. There are now becoming a few forensic investigations that are actually going somewhere. There is a guy in Detroit, ran for office, he's an accountant, and he got them to throw out 56% of the ballots because they had broken all the chain of custody and the seals and so forth. There's a woman in Aspen, Colorado, her name's Marilyn Marks. Oh my goodness, talk about a patriot. Of course, they're demonizing her and trying to make it like she's the worst thing that ever happened to that town, but here's the deal. She ran for mayor. They told her that she couldn't, even though in Aspen, you know, speaking of concealing stuff, there is a law in the municipal code that says they have to set the system up so the candidate can observe the ballots as they are being counted. The county attorneys took the position that observe doesn't mean observe.
Well,
I kid you not, I have them on tape saying that.
You know, this is, you know, when we come back with Bev Harris from blackboxvoting.org, we are going to, you know, delve deeper into what the future is. Because this is not, you know, I tell you, you know what their worst nightmare is? It's people like me going, run away, run away. You have no legitimacy. None. 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 If it's the vote and will of the people and consent of the governed and all that kind of stuff, yeah, big giant fibbers until I can be proven wrong. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Don't stop me, 'cause I'm having a good time, having a good time.
I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity.
Yeah, maybe a couple other laws if I need to. And I, you know, I don't even care. You know, it gets to the point after you're doing this for 20 years, you get to the point that you just, you look at these guys, and I tell you, Bev, I'm sure you've gone through this too. You have attorney generals, county attorneys, you have politicians, you have congressmen. They know too. They know,
yeah.
It's a game. It's a game. It's just a game. We're going to try and, you know, delay and obfuscate and hide and do, and then it doesn't hit the headlines anymore. It kind of goes off in the here. And it's just a game because they got what they wanted. They got the shiny badge and the uniform and the always available gun. And guess what? We're going to pass and do whatever you want. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it because the people have been eliminated from the process.
Right.
And I go, you know what? Let me tell you what the Trump card is on that and the people. You're eliminated from the process. You have no integrity. You have no justification for your existence. You have no validation. You have no legitimacy. You don't have a system that guarantees my accurate participation in this process. Not just I get to go through the, you know, the TSA line, you know, and kind of do my cattle call kind of crap. You know, you think it's just this veneer that you have, and you wonder why so many people stop voting. I mean, we have out of a million people, okay, they go to the polls, can go to the polls, that you know, a million people that live in a jurisdiction, okay, got a million. There's only 700,000 of them that are even eligible to register. You know, then you have only half of them, it's like 300,000 that actually do register. Then you got half of them, 150,000 that actually go vote. Then you got half of them that actually, you know, win. And you got out of a million people, you got what? You know, 7 to 10% if that, that actually are on the prevailing side of anything. And I'm going, you know what? You guys keep your 7%. I'm going to market to all the rest of them that know you're full of crap. Then we'll see what happens.
Well, yeah. Listen, let me tell you some of the things people have been doing. I started mentioning about Marilyn Marks in Aspen. Well, it gets better. She decides, forget about, you know, mayor. I'll forget about my election. I'm going to go after the system. And so she asked, now Aspen decided to have photographs taken of every ballot. Very good. She asked in a public records request to see the photographs of the ballots. And they said, oh, no, you can't do that. They might not be anonymous. Well, okay. Then she said, well, first of all, that's a constitutional violation if you can see who voted for who. But she said, okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to do a public records request for just the anonymous ballot photographs. Well, of course, then they said, we can't give you the anonymous ballot images because they're not anonymous. You heard me. That's
well, how
the
are they?
That's what the lawyer said. So she took them to court. She's taken them to the Colorado Supreme Court. And, you know, they are betwixt and between themselves. They don't know what to do about this woman because she's a barrel of fire and she's a whole new force, you know, educating the public about this. In Germany, let's go over to Germany for a second. This is really cool. A citizen sued the nation and said, look, we can't tell what's going on in our elections, and it violates our human rights because we have the right to see and authenticate what's going on. They put together such a good case based on human rights that they prevailed, and the High Court of Germany last year banned their electronic and computerized system altogether and went back to public hand counting and made a great ruling. They said that no essential step of the election can be concealed from the public. The public shall be able to see and authenticate every essential step without need for special expertise. Now comes home rule in the municipalities in the U.S. A board member for Black Box Voting, Nancy Toby, lives in New Hampshire. She watched what went down in 2008. She went to her local municipality, who can control elections under its home rule statutes, and got basically the German decision passed in her municipality. She and another New Hampshire citizen are now literally going from town to town in New England. Do you know that there are 80,000 towns in the United States with home rule?
That's a doable fight. Well, here we have, I'll give you an example. The trend has been, well, I'm glad to see that there's progress. The trend has obviously been the other way. Because
right.
when I first started doing this, I mean, we would even take training at Public Access so we could get the video cameras to go out and do that and document and everything. This is way back in the early 90s before YouTube, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And it was so obvious to us what was going on. I mean, we could show, but who do you tell? How do you,
where do you go? No enforcement, nobody to take it to. That was our problem in New Hampshire. We watched them swapping out ballots. You know, there was a recount. There were paper ballots. They were taking them in the back room and swapping in new ones. And there was no place to take it. The FBI up there, you know, that was actually the Boston branch of the FBI is considered the most corrupt branch of the FBI in the country. And, you know, the people who were there and present for it were the same people you'd have to take the complaint to. Wasn't going to happen. That is a real issue in that there just, it's very difficult to find somebody to, you can catch them red-handed. You can videotape them. And chances are you won't get anything done because there's nobody to take it to.
No, no, because you're dealing with them. I mean, you know, people have no idea what you're dealing with. Because not only do you have small municipalities and so on, that normally they used to count them by hand. Okay, then we'll do a little computer. But it was still a city clerk thing. Then they farm it out to the county. And the county, you know, the state, you know, puts everything into these counties that then signed a deal with whatever. And you have the county clerk that's in charge of the election process came from another town in another state that got computer voting in there, and they got hired and moved over here just for that very purpose to get it here. I mean, I see it happen over and over.
Exactly. They recruit each other.
Yeah, no, it's a virus. It's a thing. You know, it's a lobby. I mean, it's just how our entire system is being eaten out from the inside. And the one way they could, I figured it out. In 1991, July 91, I challenged 44 election laws. I went all the way to the Ninth Circuit. I'm not an attorney. I couldn't get an attorney, even though I pay them, and nobody would touch election law.
No, they wouldn't even do it if you pay them. You're right about that.
They are like, election law? Heck no. I want to maintain being a lawyer, you know? So I go, fine, I'll do it myself. It went all the way up. Got all kinds of attorney laws. I got a bunch of stuff changed and everything. But in the process, I learned a lot. And what I learned is this election process is all BS. It's all a veneer. It's all an excuse. It's all for legitimacy for them to get into positions of power to steal your money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it has always been about. And I'm going, okay. But, I mean, you're screaming that 20 years ago, and then you're just crazy, okay?
Oh, yeah, I know. It's interesting how it's the great thing about truth, though, is it's a one-way street. Once people see it, they don't not see it.
How do you unlearn the truth? I'm hip.
You know, right. And so, you know, more and more, and it has this way of bubbling up, you know. More and more people are starting to see it. It was just considered rude and taboo to think about it or mention it. But once you get people past that and say, open your eyes, you tell me what you can even see. And they go in there, and, of course, they can't see anything. Everything is being concealed now. It's like you can't see the voter list. You can't see anything. And then it's like, well, if you can't see it, why would you trust it? And then if you look at the election reform legislation that's being put out, it's terrible. It's always named something like the Voter Confidence Act.
Of course it is. Even if government calls anything, it's always the opposite of what they say
accurate.
Anyway.
It's about be confidence. Well, think about that confidence word. What is a confidence man?
Yeah, it's a con man.
It's a con man.
Yeah, don't even get me going on cons, as even in the Constitution, man. Don't even start with me. So this is the one thing that I wanted to make sure that we got to share with you. You have a new documentary, a new movie coming out, don't you?
Well, no, we have a movie that's out, and you can see it on YouTube. It was aired about 51 times on HBO. It's called Hacking Democracy.
Oh, I've seen that. That was very good.
And anybody who just puts the words Hacking Democracy on YouTube, it's divided into 9 10-minute segments, and it blows the lid off of it. And then we are going to be putting out a bunch of 6-minute shorts over the next year because, you know, people's attention span being what it is, where we show stuff in action of happening. I believe that, you know, we're up against a real beast. But on the other hand, you know, I asked the guys in Germany how in the world they got a court to even rule their way because they were going up against their own government.
Molotov cocktails.
Well, you know, what they said was they had to get to the public first and get the public to totally see it. Well, Germany's the size of Oregon, okay? If all we had to do was get a state the size of Oregon to see this, we marshal all our forces, we could do that. The U.S. is big. We're not at the tipping point yet. People don't see this as a violation of their rights.
No, the point that I'm making is that in Europe, you'll have there's a lot of people that actually take violence to the street. I mean, they actually,
oh, yeah.
you start getting people all riled up and so on. Ooh, there's guys with little bandanas on throwing Molotov cocktails. And when it gets to that point, they go, wait, we'll hit the reset button here. And in the United States, we're very peaceful. They got our water, you know, whatever. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
And Bev Harris from blackboxvoting.org. You know, how about some truth, justice, and what used to be the American way, whatever the heck that was. You know, I tell you, you know, this truth part, let me tell you where the truth part comes in. You know, that, you know, I go in, you want me to play your little voting game, you know, give you justification and jurisdiction and authority over me and everything because I got this consent of the governed thing going on. You go, yeah, well, you had to consent of the government. You got to go vote. Didn't you go vote? Did you vote? Did you vote? Did you vote? Well, I don't know. Did I? Answer me that, Bev. In the United States, let's say we have, I don't know, X amount of people that went and voted. How many of them can be relatively assured that their vote was accurately counted?
Maybe 0.1%.
Oh!
There are certain locations where they still have a fair amount of accountability, but we're talking about 0.1% of the population. There's about 1,000 locations, but they tend to be small rural jurisdictions.
Okay, now I need this from you. I mean, you know, you've been doing this a long time. I've been doing this a long time since 94. I don't think I know, Bev. I know, and so do you. It is broke, major broke.
Oh, yeah.
Not getting better. okay?
Oh yeah, so you're totally right.
So why are we focusing on, you know, revolution, baby? You know, and I tell you, and it doesn't even have to be, I prefer not a violent revolution, it's a love-olution. That's why we did the love-olution. It's all about just, you know, look, I know the truth, I know better. What am I going to do then?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know,
yeah.
But at least I know.
Listen, there is one thing we do have going for us, and that is they still need the appearance of elections. You know, I think we're really going to be in trouble when, if it keeps up this way, it will be when. But we are really going to be in trouble when they don't need that facade anymore, when they don't need the theater anymore,
when they can just
flat out tell us, well, this is the way it is because of this and this.
Well, they told us, you know, a lot of times you'll hear, ooh, we're so worried, you know, they're going to suspend elections and keep Bush in.
Oh, yeah.
Or Obama.
Well,
they won't do it. Yeah, they'll declare martial law, or they'll do it. And I'm going, no, they won't. You know, they'll do everything they can to have some kind of, you know, veneer of legitimacy.
Sure. And we're trying to export that all over the world, by the way, which is why I think it's so humorous that Germany came back and did that, and now the Netherlands and Ireland have followed suit, and they've dumped their voting machines, and India is starting to rumble. India has four times as many voters as we do. The United States pushed e-voting into India, and Indian citizens recently hacked their own system and said, okay, you know, every other. The Philippines is starting to rumble. Now, this I think is really interesting, because how does the U.S. start bragging it's exporting democracy to the world when other countries are starting to repudiate the voting system we use?
Yeah, you know, because it's easier to take over a country with a floppy disk than
it is a tank. That's what the whole deal is.
Oh, absolutely. We got to have the electronic voting in Iraq.
Absolutely. You see us exporting it all over the place, and I have no problem with contacting the people, and have been doing so, contacting people in these other countries, and just, you know, what's great is they're like, they're virgins. They're like, oh my gosh, you're kidding, and no one has ever told them to question the fact that these machines are manipulatable, and they come at it very quickly. They don't have this long learning curve like we've had here.
Well, they had in
Ireland.
In Ireland, you know, I remember they went to electronic voting in Ireland, found out their ballots were being counted by the Netherlands or got shipped over or something.
Yeah, and then they found out it was hackable, and they ditched the whole thing.
Well,
and the prime minister, or whoever, whatever they call it over there, he lost his job. He wasted $54 million or pounds or whatever it was, you know. But it's going to be a real battle, because this is about control. You said it's about money, and it is, but it's also about control. And that's,
yeah, control the money.
control of more than the money.
Yeah, everything. I mean, you know, there's no limit. You know, it's control. And when you talk about India, I remember India was the largest democracy. It was also all done by, you know, pencil and paper.
Right.
Well, when they went to electronic, I'm going,
they're
screwed.
In the streets. Yeah, they're and the Philippines are really starting to rumble now. I mean, I can tell you, because I get stuff privately through these circuits, and they're like, what the heck is going on with this? But the point that we have to steer clear of is what they did in the U.S. that was so successful, and it sucked me into it too, was they said, oh, this is a problem about computer security. The systems are not secure. I finally realized that is a dangerous argument and a ridiculous argument. You can't secure a computer from its own administrator. So the people who do the tampering are the people who have custody and control of the computers in the first place. So the whole security argument is bogus. Well, the reason that security argument is so dangerous is people's eyes glaze over. It becomes like the expert witness duel that you see in court, where you have one security guy over here. Nobody can figure out what they're saying. No, this isn't about security. It's about human rights, and it's about your right to freedom, and you either have ability to choose your governance or you don't, and you don't.
Well, I choose me,
you
I
don't.
Win.
I mean, that's how it is.
I choose me, I win. I win.
Yeah.
You know, pen and paper, pen and paper, pen and paper.
Do you have control or not? Can you see what's going on or not? Then there's absolutely no rebuttal to that. And they run. I mean, we've been trying to engage folks on the inside in debate on the human rights issue, and they run. They between their legs and head for the hills. They're so afraid to engage because they can't win that argument.
Well, they're just because they don't have to. You know, they just, well, yeah. You know, they're going, make me. You know, I'm so far past that, you know, because when it gets down to, if you think that you can vote away someone else's property or freedom or tag or this or that, yeah. well, if it was accurate, then it would be okay. And I don't care if it is accurate. You know, I'm so far past that. I'm going, nope. I don't even care if it's accurate anymore. I am so far past this concept that somebody can vote their restrictions on my freedom. I'm not bothering anybody. I'm done. I'm not going to advocate voting. Now, of course, if you're going to be doing it, I'll highlight all the heck, you know, that it better be done accurately and that it's not being done accurately. But all that does is feed in to the truth that I have come to realize after 22 years of this is that it's not about accurately counting the vote. It is about having legitimacy of those with the shiny badges, the uniforms, the fine hats, and the always available gun and a parchment paper on a clipboard that says you belong to the king. And they will use whatever justification to do that. And even if they do get it accurate, well, heck, all they got to do is just convince you or persuade you or bribe you into doing it. And they weren't able to do that to a point that they got to where, you know, wow, man, Americans and human beings, they won't like enslave all their neighbors all the time, and we want them to. So we're just going to take over the election computers anyway. And I'm just going, I'm so far past that. I'm telling you, Bev, they have created an environment that has questioned the entire legitimacy of government as a whole.
Well, good, but and I think people need to keep a historical perspective on this as well. I'm working on a blog right now where I've gone back and I've researched when they first banned slavery back in the 1700s, before the USA did it. I mean, at one point, 75% of the world was enslaved or in some form of bondage. And these five guys decided that they think they should ban slavery. You know, I mean, the entire world economy was dependent on it. You know, people would look at them and go, you are crazy. This is never going to happen. But they did. They managed to prevail. And the first step is communications, which is exactly what you're doing here with this show and what I'm focused on right now. Because people have to get their eyes opened first and be able to see the truth first. And then there will probably be some kinds of solutions. There's always going to be a battle. I mean, you know, there's always going to be a struggle because people with power always want to keep their power. But, get the pendulum going back and forth a little bit at least.
Well, you know, that's the position in practical political terms. They'll go, well, Ernie, if you just throw the, you know, baby out with the bathwater and so on. Yeah, it's Rosemary's baby, so whatever. But, you know, the point that I'm making is I'm going, look, you know, if I question the entire legitimacy of the whole thing and we start people down that road, for them to even rule people, you know what I mean? Just this concept, this con that they have that we're on some farm and we're just there to be fleeced, you know, over a regular period of time. And, oh, by the way, we had, you know, our opportunity to complain about it and vote somebody else. You may choose from communist candidate A or fascist candidate B. You know, I'm going, ooh, I feel so much better. You know, so I just by questioning that, they're going to have to bring back some kind of legitimacy to the process, or they will lose total control. And I am like, right. You know, you guys better start thinking, because I'm not about, you know, give me, you know, more bells and whistles and a little bit more accurate counts or a little bit of manual validation.
I'm running on the hamster wheel. It's like, you know, you run faster and faster and faster, and all they do is, you know, take it. It's like that find the pea end of the walnut game. You know, you're going all. You're right. You first have to get people to see. You know, there's a really good advocate. His name is Paul Leto. He's a lawyer who's really just, you know.
Hey, Bab, before you go, can you stay into the next hour a bit?
Sure.
Let's go ahead and do that, because I don't want to rush you there. And we got so much more to talk about, because Bev and I have not been able to spend as much time together as I'd like, because, you know, but I watch all your goodies. And we'll talk about We Will Not Be Silenced. That was what I was referring to, you know, your film there. So this is an opportunity for us to really have an impact on the processes that are being used to devour us. They, you know, and we're helping them. We're legitimizing it. We're going, oh, I voted. Did you? Did you? Did you really? Do you know? How do you know? How the heck do you know? Do you even understand what's going on? Then they did this have a thing, Help America Vote Act. Yeah, help what?
Help yourself to America's Vote.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, lots to talk about. We'll be right back.